Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. I'm waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. And I know the night won't last, and your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Your hands, this is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me.
My confidence, you've never failed me.
and you've never failed me yet, and I never will forget. You've never failed me yet, and I never will forget.
I mean, I am amazing, and then I bring another person on the scene and it gets complicated. I have to then be in relationship with them. And we shared a little bit about that last week, about when relationships go wrong. We want relationships to go in a straight line, and usually it's our line, correct? We know the right way to raise this child, to run our business, to be a friend. It's the other person that got it all messed up. If they just listen to us. Beyond that, then other people get involved. You know how to drive to the grocery store. It's other people that are on the roads that don't know how to drive. You know how to check out of the line. It's either the cashier or the person in front of you that doesn't. The whole world gets kind of messed up. It got so bad in Corinth that Paul had to write to them and had to redefine love. The church in Corinth was so confused. They didn't know what love is. It was kind of like the Vegas of the time. Here's what love is. I want you to spend a lot of money to get on a plane, and then I want you to fly to a city, and I want you to spend a lot of money there. And maybe, if you're lucky, Elvis will marry you. And he'll sing a song to you, and you'll go back home, and then you have to live with the person. And Paul says, what if I speak in the language of gods and angels? What if I prophesy and I'm really spiritual? What if I give all my money to the poor and I don't really know what love is? His conclusion at the beginning of that chapter, of chapter 13, is I am nothing, I do nothing, I gain nothing. We shared last week that Scripture, has different words for love than we do. We just say love. I love it. I love my sports team, and I love my wife, and I love my job. Those are all loves. And we shared those four words, eros, storge, philia, and agape. And more importantly, last week we said, not only do you oftentimes have this ministry of reconciliation, where you're the person in the room that says there are bigger issues than all the curvy lines in relationships, but a lot of times you're doing translation. So let's do translation, because it's really rough to tell your friends to learn Greek to know God. When your friend's talking about love, or you have a family member that's struggling, you can now discern and say, wait, are you struggling because you don't really feel like you have a family that supports you? The storge kind of love? Or are you struggling because you're just lonely? You don't have any friends, or the friends you have don't love you in that deep way, that filial love? Or maybe you just don't feel loved. And all the time as believers, we say, do you know there's a bigger love than that? This love that comes from your faith in God. So last week it was easy. Last week we shared what love is not. And I don't know about you, but it's much easier to point out what things aren't than what they are. You can just point to things and say, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. This love that Jesus shows us, that God shows us constantly, doesn't have envy in it, isn't worried about boasting or being arrogant, doesn't dishonor other people in any relationship with their word or with their actions. It's not looking for itself. Anger is far down the road. It's not quickly, it doesn't quickly come up in agape love. It doesn't keep a record of all the wrong things that that person did. It definitely doesn't delight when evil things happen. Agape love doesn't fail. It's a great contrast. You can look at your relationships, your friends, your family, your work job, your maybe the relationship you're in a marriage, or a dating relationship, and I'm seeing those things pop up in those relationships and say, well, I got a lot of work to do there. That's obviously not love. This week, we want to share the parts of the Scripture that share what love actually is. And that's where it gets deeper, because when you bounce off somebody and they say, I don't think I'm in love anymore with my husband. I think it's over. Or I just don't love my job anymore. I used to love doing this, but now I don't love it. You've got to, as a believer, not only have this reconciliation with them, but you also have to translate and say, yeah, maybe we're talking about two different words. Maybe we're talking about two different things. And I know we come to church, and you sit in church, and a lot of times we'll give you like a list of things to do it. And we'll say, here's what you're supposed to do. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And on the other hand, oftentimes we get together and you have a list of why. I don't know about you, but in church, oftentimes the why is because God's God and you're not. Now, I grew up with that. My entire life was, why am I doing this? Because I'm your dad. Get in the car. We're going to grandma's. I don't know if you've ever parented that way, but it's a very effective way to parent. I don't want to clean my room. You're a kid. Clean your room. Oh, man. I am a kid. Today, we look at not just the why, but how does it happen? So let's read together. Once again, Jesus shows us in Scripture not just the what, not the why, but the how to love with complete abandonment in John chapter 8. Let's read together. At dawn, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commands us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this time, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Let's pray together. Father, help us to figure it out. Not just what agape love isn't, not just what faith love isn't, but what it is. How you can do that. Call us to greater things through your example, that we can see the kind of love that you're talking about, that our families, our friendships, everything in our life will be filled with this kind of love. Open your word to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, my question is, how could he do that? Not what did he do? I read why he did it. Not why he could do it, because he's Jesus and I'm not. How? What caused him to do that? As you look through this 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, as you sit in a wedding and you hear it read over and over again, if you listen to the things that are positive about love, there's some things that it points out that's radically different than how either the world, your family, or your friends define love. The first is that love is patient and love is kind. Love is patient and love is kind. Here's where that is founded in. Every relationship besides this agape love relationship, it's difficult to wait. It's difficult to wait, especially if you're in eros. If you're in feeling relationships, man, there are times where you just can't wait to see that person again because you're so excited to see them. You love them so much. It's your first week of the job. You can't wait to get to that job and dig into it. It's a new friendship, and you're going to go see a concert together. You are so excited for Friday to come that you don't really want to love your first love with your job on Monday because Friday's coming. It's difficult to wait. And this is a perfect scenario of that. This is not a scenario where the church is being a little too churchy. They literally caught the woman having an affair. Literally caught her in bed. having an affair, and they bring her in front of Jesus. But because they don't have agape love, what they search for is what we all search for. I want justice now. I want my boss to respect me. I want my friends to know what I love and get me the right gifts when it's my birthday. I want my spouse to know exactly who I am and what I need. I want my children to respect me. I want the world to be fair, and I want it now. Agape love is different. Agape love fundamentally understands brokenness. Jesus understands this woman, while it's obvious what is going on in her life that's messed up, is no more broken than all the crowd of people that are standing around her picking up stones, getting ready to hurt her. Agape love says, listen, I know you want this fairness, but what they need is kindness, because she's not done yet. There's only one scenario out of 1,000 where this woman doesn't walk away. That's if Jesus stands up and says, you're right, she had an affair, kill her. That's one scenario. There are 10,000 other scenarios that come out of that. Can you imagine that in your relationships? Where instead of looking at the one thing that's a failure in your life, you look at the 10,000 that are better options. Instead of looking at the 1 hour that stinks when you and your spouse had a fight this week, you look at the 30 years that you're going to be married, the 40 years, the 50 years you're going to be married. Agape love is kind because it's patient. Patient isn't a virtue, it's a habit. Jesus stole my life from drowning. Personally, now I'm talking about me. I was drowning in sin. I was not a little casual come to Jesus. I was on the other team. Jesus stole my life from that and brought me into a kingdom that I don't deserve. I will follow him forever. If he has me cleaning toilets for Jesus, that's my mission for Jesus. I am enduringly patient with very few people except for Jesus. Because of his extraordinary kindness. On the other hand, shockingly, after I got to know Jesus, I then got married. Good order to do things. And I stood in front of a pastor and I said, I will love my wife for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. We have nailed all of those already in our marriage. We're only 20-some years in our marriage and we've hit all of those. I am not worried about if she has a bad week or a bad month or a bad year. I'm committed to see it through to the end and figure out what God does with it. Imagine your job like that, your friends like that, a family like that. Patience causes kindness. The second thing it says is that love rejoices with the truth. Other relationships are often stuck in confusion. Some of you have amazing bosses that tell you exactly what the goals are for the year. They walk you through those goals. You meet those goals. They cheer. Others of you may not have a boss that talks that way. Some of you have friends that you plan a vacation together. They're always communicating. Others you may not. Others have families. You know exactly what's happening during the holidays. And so when it comes to the holidays, there's no chaos about where you're going on Christmas morning or the day. It's just a land of peace and flowers and unicorns. Many of us are not in that world. And you try and figure out what's our relationship here? How do we relate? What's the truth? Not what is the noise, but what is the truth? Agape love has a passion for clarity. It's a passion for clarity. Agape love is the kind of love that allows Jesus to kneel down, not once, but twice. You know how annoying that had to be? If you're trying to trick somebody into saying something they don't want to be, they don't want to say, and you come up to them and you have an accusation, agape love is always looking for clarity. Jesus said, I had plenty of time. I'm just going to kneel down there, let you guys yell and pick up your stones. and I'll wait until you're weirded out by me kneeling down. You know? I'm going to just kneel down and wait. And then he stands up and he gives his declaration, which is super spiritual. It's all the stuff that we remember after we leave a person. You said, oh, I should have said that. Jesus stands up and said, hey, if you haven't sinned, go ahead and throw the stone. He kneels down again to make them feel completely awkward and deal with the truth. The truth is, everybody in that group knew they were broken too. If you read the scripture, you notice one at a time they walked away. And you know who walked away first? The older people. Because the older people had a longer list. It's not that this is right. We need to have fairness. This person made a mistake. And Jesus goes, that's great. If you didn't make a mistake, you do it. They're like, I did never made. Oh. Put that down. You might want to put your rock down too, son. Whatever. And the old guy left. And the younger guys are like, there's truth here. And I'm going to make sure that this truth applies to her, but not me. Imagine relationships where it's not the many voices that matter. It's the truth that matters. Listen, we're praying for you and your life and what God's doing in your life. We know there are many families that if truth comes out, the family breaks. We know there are many friendships that there's struggles going on. And when you share truth, it isn't handled with love. It's handled with rejection. We know that in many of your jobs, when you see something going wrong, if you share that with somebody, the answer isn't, oh, great, that's a great point. Thank you for being a great employee. You're rejected because of it. That's not agape love. Agape love says, we're just going to sit down here. We're going to wait for truth to show up. Third, this kind of love from God always protects, always trusts, always hopes because of what happened ahead of time. Always protects, always trusts. Think about the people that you hang out with. Who are you the protector of? You probably have a list of people that you are the protector of. Some of you are mama bears, some of you are papa bears. Some of you are smelly bears. You're just protecting people. Now, who do you trust? Do those circles cross? Finally, who do you have hope for that you think things will go better rather than worse in the future? Other relationships are always caught in the past and or the present. So these super spiritual people saw somebody being supremely not spiritual, literally, they caught her not being spiritual, with somebody that she wasn't married to, and they drug her out and they said, look at this, this is not fair. And Jesus, instead of just giving them mercy, instead of just saying, you know what, you're right, it's not fair, he shows them kindness. Agape love is always looking towards the future. It says, listen, I can be patient with you because I know you're going to eventually walk away from this scenario. Agape love is future-based. Jesus is not just worried about the woman while she's there, embarrassed and judged. He's worried about her when she walks away. How does she walk away from this situation? Have you dreamed about that for your neighborhood? Not just what's the problem with the sewage or the trees or the traffic. What's God going to do in my city in a year for his glory? Agape love says, I'm going to protect this brokenness. And I'm going to trust that God moves even in broken things. Because I have hope that when this woman walks away, her footprints will show grace, not judgment. Imagine that. Imagine that in the worst failure in your family that you have right now, that you still have hope that God will do radical things. The friends that abandon you or the boss that was cruel to you, that you still have hope that God is a redeeming God and will do great things. Imagine that kind of love. Here's the last thing. Love always perseveres. Love perseveres. It lasts. Last. Other relationships are temporary. The The staff of this church serves families incredibly well, but about once every week or every other week, there is a funeral here. God's gifted you with a certain time to do unimaginable things through His glory. You work for a certain time. Your children are children for a little time. They're cute, they're cuddly, and then they become teenagers. And I like them because they're awesome and they talk back. But you don't like them anymore. You know? And then suddenly life changes. Some of you have had relationships that are broken and gone, and you don't know how to define yourself because of a lost marriage or a lost friend or a lost family member. They're just temporary. Here's what agape love does. Agape love is timeless. It's got a different sense of time. It knows that every picture will crinkle and fade. Nations will rise and fall. Churches will grow and diminish. People will succeed and fail. Friendships will start and end. Families will grow and they'll die off. Futures will be shaped and formed, but the Word of God will last forever. Not what I do, but what God does is a bigger picture. And so agape love can persevere through the biggest failures. Imagine that. Imagine a love when people come to you in their worst state. By the way, the worst state isn't always silent. Sometimes people come to you and they're loud when they're broken. Like the crowd is loud, screaming, and all this noise is all around you. Imagine displaying a love like Jesus. Not the why, not the what, but the how. That you are able to have the sense of, I don't know what's going on here, but I know that kindness is the answer. So I'm going to pause. And I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to let the Spirit talk to me about what to say next, because I don't have the right words. How do I not give a boost to the crowd that's calling for fairness, but a word of kindness to the most broken? That's the way of love. The how is the way. I'm just going to kneel before the Lord, and I'm going to say, I'm just going to pause and let all the noise calm down and figure out how to do what God calls me to do.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sin and the restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your
remember.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.